Hi, good afternoon. I hope you can bear with me with my voice. I'm recovering from a cold. So today I'm going to be talking about clinical characteristics and health behaviors in South Asians with hypertension in New York City. I have no disclosures. Starting first with a little bit of background, the Asian American population grew faster than any other race group in the United States between 2000 and 2010. But despite this growth and continued projected growth, Asian Americans are the most understudied racial ethnic minority group in the United States. In terms of resource allocation and health planning for Asian Americans, these efforts are often hampered by the fact that data are usually presented in aggregate across diverse Asian subgroups, which masks meaningful disparities. So we can walk through an example of this together on the following slide. This slide shows recent data on national trends of cardiovascular disease mortality rates for Asian Americans and non-Hispanic whites stratified by sex and over the years 2003 to 2011. If we focus first, I know these graphs are quite small, but if we focus first on the aggregate Asian results compared to the white results, you can see a striking conclusion, which is that the reduction in cardiovascular disease mortality that the white population has experienced over time is not matched by the Asian American population, meaning that the slope in decrease has been slower over time. The implication of this is that potentially current cardiovascular disease efforts to reduce morbidity and mortality are not reaching Asian American populations. Another interesting thing can be seen from the data when we look at the disaggregated results. So if you focus your attention on the top panel in terms of the stroke outcomes, starting with the Chinese going across to the Vietnamese, you can see that in general, all of the different Asian subgroups do experience a decrease in stroke mortality over time. However, if you focus in on the Asian Indians, the authors found that stroke mortality rates for Asian Indians has actually been increasing over time. So cardiovascular disease is of significant importance for South Asian Americans. Now, the burden of cardiovascular disease in this population is not a new finding. This has been something that has been building up in the literature for the last decade. But in South Asian Americans, cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death compared to in other Asian subgroups where cancer is the leading cause of death. South Asian Americans also have a higher prevalence of obesity and diabetes, not only compared to other Asian subgroups, but also compared to other racial ethnic minority groups as well. However, they have a similar or lower prevalence of hypertension, which is interesting. Lastly, no previous studies have examined factors that are associated with hypertension in South Asian Americans. So that brings us to our study objective and goal, which was to identify if demographic and clinical characteristics or lifestyle behaviors differed in South Asian immigrants with hypertension compared to non-Hispanic white adults with hypertension. And our overarching goal here was really to identify specific factors that could be targeted in clinical and community interventions to improve hypertension management and related outcomes in South Asian American immigrants. The data source that we used for this analysis was the New York City Community Health Survey. This is an annual random digital survey of approximately 9,000 New York City adults every year. It's modeled roughly after two national surveys, the BRFSS, or Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey, and the NHIS, which is the National Health Interview Survey. And the surveys are cross-sectional and include self-report of demographics and health information. Also, the data may be weighted to be representative of the entire New York City population. Some key variable definitions. We defined South Asian American a self-report of being born in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, or Burma, and we restricted our analysis to foreign-born adults. And this was because of necessity. The Community Health Survey actually didn't start collecting Asian ancestry in U.S.-born Asians until 2012, so we were only able to assess country of origin in those who were foreign-born. And self-report of diagnosed hypertension was defined as an affirmative response to the question, have you ever been told by a doctor or other healthcare professional that you have hypertension, also called high blood pressure? Some additional variables. So we looked at these different groups of variables in adults with hypertension in demographics, clinical characteristics, and lifestyle behaviors. In terms of demographics, we looked at age, sex, education, individual and neighborhood poverty levels, insurance, time in the United States, and language spoken at home. In terms of clinical characteristics, we looked at body mass index, self-reported diabetes, high cholesterol, or antihypertensive medication use. And then for lifestyle behaviors, we looked at smoking status, exercise in the last 30 days, fruit and vegetable consumption in the past day, and self-rated diet quality. For sample size, we combined 5 years of community health survey data from 2009 to 2013. And this gave us this very impressive sample size of 44,886. But you'll see how this quickly degraded as we did our exclusion. We excluded those who were missing self-report of hypertension. That was 136 individuals across those 5 years. And then we further restricted our data set to those who were non-Hispanic white and foreign-born South Asian adults with hypertension. So the final sample size for our non-Hispanic whites was 5,987 with hypertension, and for foreign-born South Asians was 144 with hypertension. For statistical analysis, our first step was to estimate the age-adjusted prevalence of hypertension by racial group. Then we looked at demographics, clinical characteristics, and lifestyle behaviors in the hypertensive adults. And any statistical differences were assessed using t-tests or t-tests for proportions. In terms of multivariable regression models, separate models for each clinical characteristic and lifestyle behavior among hypertensive adults were built, comparing foreign-born South Asians to whites, and then adjusted for the covariates that are listed here. And all of the analyses were performed using Sudan with complex survey weighting techniques. So in terms of results, the first slide shows the age-adjusted self-report of hypertension prevalence in New York City. You can see that in non-Hispanic whites, the overall hypertension prevalence is 23.1%, and in foreign-born South Asians, 27.1%. And the difference between these two prevalence estimates was not statistically different. Now turning towards some of our demographic characteristics, foreign-born South Asians compared to non-Hispanic whites with hypertension were actually much younger by about an average of 12.6 years. Also, they were much less likely to be female. So 51% of non-Hispanic white hypertensives were female compared to 29% of foreign-born South Asians with hypertension. Next, they were much more likely to be living at high poverty levels. About 50% of them were high poverty. And then lastly, foreign-born South Asians with hypertension were much less likely to speak English at home, 33% compared to 84% in non-Hispanic whites with hypertension. Now looking at some of the clinical characteristics. First, body mass index was lower in foreign-born South Asians compared to non-Hispanic whites with hypertension by about 2.7 kilograms per meter squared. And none of the other clinical characteristics that we assessed were statistically different. Next, we looked at lifestyle behaviors in adults with hypertension. And you can see that foreign-born South Asians with hypertension were reported eating less servings of fruits and vegetables in the last day. And also, they were much less likely to report an excellent or very good diet quality compared to non-Hispanic whites with hypertension. This table shows the results from the multivariable regression models. And as you can see, the relationship with foreign-born South Asian and body mass index remained statistically significant. In addition, foreign-born South Asians were actually 5.7 times more likely to be currently taking antihypertensive medication. But you can see that the upper end of the confidence interval is quite large, And so therefore, maybe these estimates are a little bit unreliable. Foreign-born South Asians were much less likely to be current smokers, and they were also, again, much less likely to rate an excellent or very good diet quality. So the key findings here are really, there's several of them, but in terms of demographic characteristics, foreign-born South Asians with hypertension were younger than non-Hispanic whites with hypertension, and this is a finding that has been reflected in the literature in international studies, but this is the first time this has been observed in an American survey. Foreign-born South Asians with hypertension were also more likely to be male, low income, and much less likely to speak English at home. In terms of clinical characteristics, they had lower body mass index than their white counterparts. And lastly, in terms of lifestyle behaviors, they were less likely to smoke and they had poor diet quality. So some of the implications of this, conservatively, we could say that there could be a potential broadening of the age and body mass index cutoffs for screening for hypertension. Of course, this is just one study, and so we really need a number of additional confirmatory analyses to say whether or not we can make recommendations for cutoffs for screening. And it also appears that incorporation of nutrition counseling to improve diet quality would be particularly meaningful for South Asian immigrants with hypertension. Some of the strengths and limitations of this analysis. Strength is that it's population-based compared to being clinic-based, so our result can be generalizable to the general New York City population. And then I have sample size listed as both a strength and a limitation. Of course, this is a large sample size of South Asians with hypertension, but at the same time, we also know that 144 is a small sample size, so it is also a limitation of our analysis. It precluded us from being able to do any further stratifications. Another limitation is the fact that we combined hypertension prevalence across survey years, but according to administrative data at the New York City Health Department, the prevalence of hypertension has not changed very much in the last 10 years, and so we felt confident in combining these estimates over these 5 years. Another limitation is that hypertension is assessed by self-report and not clinical measurements. And then lastly, because we restricted this analysis to foreign-born South Asians, these results are not generalizable to U.S.-born South Asians. So in conclusion, South Asian Americans with hypertension have a unique risk profile. Age, body mass index, diet, and English language proficiency are key factors. And therefore, we conclude that linguistically and culturally appropriate strategies for management of hypertension in South Asian Americans are needed. And I'd just like to finish with acknowledgement of my co-authors, Nadia Islam, Jennifer Zanowiak, Chowdhury Chevron at the NYU School of Medicine, and Lorna Thorpe and Sheila Desai at the City University of New York School of Public Health. Thank you. You know, that's a really, really good question. I'm wondering if it could be because of potentially, you know, community-based organizations or other organizations that are working within the confines of the community that they have access to these different medications and things like that. But yeah, no, I don't know the answer to that question.
Once you have enough years of data on people who were born in the U.S., kind of like
Yeah, no, I think that's an interesting question. For this particular analysis, the way that we've expanded it, we've prepared into a manuscript, is looking at another Asian subgroup. So in the final manuscript, we're looking at foreign-born Chinese as well as foreign-born South Asians. The reason why we didn't do any kind of subgroup analyses, so it was available in two of the years that we used for the community health survey, Asian ancestry, was available for 2012 and 2013. The short answer is that the survey weight to combine those two together hasn't been developed yet by health department folks, and so I think that would be an interesting follow-up. Of course, you know, bearing in mind that these are cross-sectional studies and not following the same people over time, but it would be really interesting, you know, once we accumulate maybe 2-3 years of community health survey data with that Asian ancestry question, to really assess some of these patterns in U.S.-born Asians. Yeah, sure. No, that's a really good point. Unfortunately, age at immigration is not a variable that's asked in the community health survey, so we were not able to look at that. But we are very interested in kind of understanding some of those patterns, especially in terms of late life immigration. So, you know, folks who are coming over, joining their children after they're 50, 60 years old, they really have different dietary patterns and needs and chronic conditions compared to, you know, a 60-year-old that came over when they're 60 compared to a 60-year-old that's been here for 20 years is a really different Asian American. So it would be very interesting to look at that. Okay. All right. Thank you.